The Holy Gospel according to Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 68. This will also serve as the sermon text this morning. Blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited us and prepared redemption for his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, just as he said long ago through the mouth of his holy prophets. He raised up salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us in order to show mercy to our fathers by remembering his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham our father, to grant deliverance to us from the hand of our enemies so that we are able to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear again the words of our gospel lesson from Luke chapter 1. I'll just read the first verse of the lesson. Blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited us and prepared redemption for his people. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, how often in your life have you wondered about the promises of God? There's so many promises that he makes, wonderful promises. The promise of forgiveness, the promise of peace with him, the promise of life eternal, the promise that he's going to return again and take us to be with him forever in heaven. And the list can go on and on of the wonderful promises that God has made. And yet, as we live our lives here on earth now, we don't see the reality, the fulfillment of those blessings. We're still waiting for Jesus to return. We are told that we have a home in heaven, and yet we don't see it now. We're told that we have peace with God, that our relationship with him is restored, and yet we can't physically experience that yet. Do you ever wonder about the promises of God? Can it really be? Can it be so? Will these things really come to pass? Do you wonder, can it really be true? Well, take it from a man who wondered that very same thing. This promise is just too wonderful. It's not possible. Zechariah. He was right. An impossibility that he would have a son. And yet God kept that small promise. And then, when Zechariah saw the seemingly small and insignificant promise in the grand scheme of things that God had kept for this, his tongue was loosed. He shouted with proclamation of blessing to God for the one who keeps all of his promises. Yes, even promises that remained unproven for him. And so do we. We sing our benedictions to the God who keeps his promises to us. Zechariah again invites us to join in that song of praise to God who kept all of those promises as we see how the Lord visits us. He visits us with redemption for his people. And he visits us with deliverance from our enemies. Zechariah had just received news that his aged wife was going to bear him a son. An impossibility. She was beyond the age of childbearing, just as Sarah in the Old Testament with Abraham was well beyond the years of childbearing. But this is what God promised to do. Yet instead of believing this wonderful promise of God given by the angel Gabriel, he questioned God's promise. He didn't believe. And so this is what Gabriel said to him. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you in order to tell you this good news. Now listen, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things happen, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled at the proper time. And so Zechariah was silent for 9 months. And the Lord's promises were fulfilled. And so Zechariah had those 9 long months to wait, to ponder his doubt, and to consider God's grace. And boy, did the Lord visit him with his grace. Finally, when that small, that simple, that seemingly insignificant promise compared to the vast landscape of all of the promises, not just for time, but for all eternity, this simple promise of giving him a child was finally fulfilled, Zechariah knew that all of God's other promises, all of those great promises in the vast landscape of eternity, would also be fulfilled. As his tongue was unloosed, he understood that son that was born to him, what he would be. He was the one who would prepare the people for the way, prepare the way for the Messiah, the Savior to come. And all of the waiting, all of the wondering, even the lack of faith and the times that doubt and despair filled God's people, all of that time, finally, the Lord kept his promise that he would visit us. And yet even that promise wasn't fulfilled in this child born to Zechariah and Elizabeth, John. Jesus wasn't born yet. The sacrifice for the redemption of his people hadn't been made. Zechariah, as high priest, was still serving in the temple, offering his feeble sacrifices, sacrifices from another sinful, doubting, flawed man. But the Holy Spirit inspired him nonetheless, filled with faith in the promises yet to come, yet to be fulfilled. He was moved to praise the Lord for all of them. The Lord who visits us. So he sang, "Blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited us and prepared redemption for his people." He has visited us even before the Christ was born. Zechariah praises God for his visit to his people. What a visit for the Lord, from the Lord. First, understand what's contained in that term visit. It's much richer than just a visit from God. It means at its root to make a careful investigation of something, to look and examine something carefully, and then with the intent to help and to fix it. What a rich word is contained in that visit from God that Zechariah sang about. Perhaps you heard that the furnace was broken down on New Year's Eve. It was a little bit colder here. I heard it as soon as I flipped the switch to turn on the heat. And boy, I knew something was wrong, but it wasn't a careful investigation that I made. I just flipped the switch off and told more important people who knew a lot more about it. Yesterday, for 4 hours, a couple of our deacons and another member were able to work on that. And they made a careful investigation. And they knew exactly what was wrong. But not only did they, in their careful investigation, understand the problem, but they knew how to fix it. And here we are with heat again this morning. That careful investigation and the ability to fix, to come and visit with the solution to the problem, that's the kind of visit that God made to his people. The Lord made a careful investigation of us. He knows our problems. He looked carefully at us. And he came to help. And he knows exactly the help that we need. So with his careful investigation, his inspection, he sees the solution to the problem. Redemption. And what a beautiful word that is, too. We speak of Jesus as our Redeemer. In the second article, Luther's explanation to it, we say that he is our Redeemer. He has redeemed us, lost and condemned creatures. Yes, God made a careful inspection of us and recognized that we were lost, that we were condemned, lost because of our sins, and condemned to an eternity in hell. We couldn't stand in God's presence. Just as Adam and Eve were driven out from the Garden of Eden, so we by our sins have been cast out of God's holy presence, driven from the blessedness of heaven, communion with God, lost and condemned. But the Lord visits us. He understands our problem. He makes a careful investigation of us and then comes with His help. He visited us in His Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who was born for us, so that He could die to make the payment for all of the sins that we had committed. A payment made by His precious life and His innocent suffering and death, so that He could purchase us from our condemned state, a state of damnation and eternity in hell, a separation from God. No more. Now we belong to the one who has come to visit us, who has redeemed His people. Zechariah made this song of praise even before that Redeemer made His sacrifice, that God has come to visit His people with redemption. Yeah, and just as Zechariah had his doubts, so do we. We wonder at times about our redemption. Has He purchased me from my sins? Then why do I still struggle against them? Has He really guaranteed me heaven? Then why do I still feel like I've been cast out of God's presence? Look, friend. Look at the promises of the Lord. He comes again. He did come to visit us, and we have seen that promise fulfilled in His own Son who was born for us. And we see God's visit again with redemption through His Word and through His blessed sacrament. He comes to us and tells us, "This is for you, for your forgiveness, to remove your sins, and to give you an eternity with me." Just like Zechariah, we can sing God's praises of a visit to redeem His people, even when we have not yet seen those promises fulfilled. Zechariah had so much more to say about redemption in his song of praise to God. He was so joyful, and his lips had finally been loosed. Was he thrilled at the thought of finally being a father after so many long years in his old age? Was he excited at the prospect of continued service in the Lord's temple as the high priest? Was he excited that he could finally speak again? No doubt those joys filled his heart too. And yet he took this opportunity not to praise God for any of those things. No, he took this opportunity to sing praises about God for His visit to His people, to bring deliverance from all of His enemies. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David. He raised up salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to grant deliverance to us from the hand of our enemies. What were Zechariah's enemies? Were they the Romans who had invaded the land and took control of the country and then taxed the people? Caesar, who issued a decree of taxation? Were his enemies Herod, who issued another horrible decree of senseless murder of innocent babies? Such precious life. Were these the enemies whom Zechariah and his people feared? No. It is Satan who hates us. Satan, who in his spite and contempt for us, tempts us with his lies and deceit. He is our greatest enemy, the one who destroys that peace with God, who tries to end that harmony and shatter that good relationship between God and man. And so he sows the seed of sin in our lives. And sin we do. We sin to shatter that peace with God. We sin to bring strife into our homes, into our families, into our vocations and work, and in our play. We sin and sin again. And we cannot serve God. We're not able to serve God. We lack the holiness. We lack the righteousness that we need. Just look around, and we need look no further than our own lives to see the seed of sin that has been sown, to turn from God, to doubt His goodness, to hate His blessings, to abuse them and to ruin them with our sin. What enemies we have become, even because of Satan and sin. And finally, this leads to death. Not just the silence of our lips for a time, but the silence of our songs of praise to God for all eternity in hell. Death. Real death. Eternal death. These are our enemies. These are what hate us and what spoil our relationship with God. But the Lord remembered his holy covenant, a covenant he made to our fathers, to Adam and Eve in the garden, to Abraham, and to all those people for many generations, through all of the prophets throughout the time in history. The Lord remembered that covenant to show mercy to the ones who were afflicted by such great enemies as Satan and sin and death. And the Lord visits us. He visits us with deliverance. He raised up the horn of salvation in the house of David. That is none other than his own son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And even before that one was born, Zechariah sang about him and the deliverance that he would bring, a deliverance by his death on the cross to redeem us from all of our sins, to deliver us from the enemies of death. By his death on the cross, he conquered death forever. By his resurrection from the dead, he assures us that we do have an eternity with him in heaven. The one who, with all of his strength and power, contended with our enemies and won the horn of our salvation. He has brought deliverance for us. Deliverance, a word of salvation, a word of rescue, to be taken from something that is so evil and to be bought over to something forever that is so good. His mercy, his covenant, his holiness, his righteousness. To be delivered from something always means also to be delivered for something. And so Zechariah sang about that song too. When the Lord visited us, we have been delivered from our enemy of sin. And so we are delivered for service to our God, the God of our salvation. We're able to do what pleases him. Before, good works were an impossibility for us. We couldn't do them. But now we're free. Not only able to do, but now we do fulfill those things in righteousness and holiness before our God. And so we serve him in that holiness and righteousness. We seek to do the will of the Lord who has visited us with his deliverance from our enemies. Do I want to destroy the relationships with sin? No. I want to serve God by showing love to my neighbor, love to my spouse and my children, love to my boss and my employees. I will live that life of service to my God who visits me with his deliverance. And so we're delivered from Satan. Satan with his lies. God won't visit you. God won't deliver you. No, we don't serve Satan anymore. We don't belong to him and we don't listen to his lies. We can rejoice in the truth of God and his wonderful promises. We can speak about those truths and those wonderful promises from God. We're now free to sing our songs of praise, our Benedictus, along with Zechariah, because God has delivered us from the enemy of Satan to serve him in holiness and righteousness all our days. And death. Oh, to be free from death. What a wonder. That means that we're free for life. I don't obey death. I don't live to avoid it as if I'm a slave to it and serve it. I don't fear it as if I live under its control. I live for life. Not just for life here on earth, but for all eternity with God in heaven. So I serve without fear as long as I live this life. I do this by faithfully working at my job, by serving faithfully in my home, by giving back diligently to my neighbors in my community, by working tirelessly for them, because I have been delivered for life. And this is life eternal. And then what if I don't see it? What if I don't see the deliverance from sin or from death or from Satan? What if these promises from the Lord, the wonderful promises of his visit to us, still remain obscure? What if my sins make me despair, or my struggles make me doubt, or my fear paralyzes me from loving service to God, my Savior and my Deliverer? Then let me listen to that song of Zechariah again. To one who, even as he sang his song, looked only at a very small promise that God had kept to him to that point. And yet, with faith in the through the Holy Spirit, sang of the wonderful promises that God had done and kept. He has visited his people. And then we are assured of all of the great promises that God will also keep to us as well. That he will come again. That he has brought us redemption for his people. That he gives us deliverance from our enemies. Yes, the Lord has visited us. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen.